Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. We want everyone to go to heaven, right? So, Father, in Jesus' name, we're at least going to pray for the eternal salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Father, we're praying for their past, present, and future spouses. We're praying for all the children they have now and the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. And Father, we want more. We're praying for all their aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, and nieces also and their families. And by faith, Father, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict each person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And yes, Father, they'd humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And then, Father, we pray you'd get every person into a good Bible-believing teaching church, that then be baptized in water. They would receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian will become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're praying for every demon-possessed, demonized, and captive person to be set free. And yes, Lord, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease and every pain. Yes, Lord. And Father, you're for your people to receive and to walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we're agreeing for that in Jesus' name. And we say thank you. Also, Father God, we love the Jewish people. We have such great debt of gratitude to them. Father, according to your word, we are praying for the peace of Jerusalem. According to your word, Father, we agree they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Father, please restore all that land to them. And Lord, we're praying for the salvation of every Jewish boy and girl, man and woman. Father, remove the blinders and scales off their hearts and minds. May they truly see, Lord Jesus, you are their Messiah, you are Savior and Lord, and they'd humble themselves, repent, and get gloriously saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we agree for that right now. And Heavenly Father, if anyone tries to touch the Jewish people, the nation Israel, which is the apple of your eye, stop them. And Father God, if they pursue in their evil against them, destroy them. And we agree for that right now in Jesus' name. Also, Father, we are so delighted. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you decided not to destroy America yet. And you gave us your servant Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. We thank you for them. We're praying for them and all Donald Trump's past, present, future cabinet appointees and their families and extended families. And again, salvation, Father, for each and every one of them, born again, spirit-filled and baptized. Also, Father God, you would guide them. They would make every decision they make according to the Word of God and according to our Constitution. And Father, grant a hedge of protection about them and your angelic protection. Don't let anyone touch them or harm them as they boldly, joyfully love and serve you and do their jobs that you've appointed them to. And we thank you for that also. But also, Father, continue, Father, to grant and use the Trump administration and your angelic host to expose and to drive out of this country every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, every drug trafficker, every sex trafficker, everyone who is coming to America to do evil. Father, bring them to the light and drive them out of this country. And Father, don't let them do their wicked, evil deeds. And Father, we know, we understand, Father, you showed us. We have to have your hedge of protection, Father, your protection. Father, protect our power grid. which includes our electricity, gas, oil, and coal. Father, protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. Father, please protect our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Father, don't let anybody poison, hack, destroy, or diminish any of these resources. And if anyone tries to do it, stop them. And if they persist, destroy them, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. And Father, we agree together there will be no centralized digital currency until after the rapture of the church, and dollar bills and cash will be strong until that time. And Father, we also need this, Father. Please destroy, annihilate the monkeypox virus, the bird flu virus, all viruses they are trying to create in those labs to destroy us. Destroy the viruses. Father, destroy and annihilate the labs. And Father God, destroy and annihilate the vaccinations that have been or are being created to maim, kill, and harm people. And we agree for that. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you believe in God's going to do all these good things? Amen. Well, it's Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. Well, needless to say, can't talk about end times today. We got to talk about Jesus and what he's done for us. So we'll go to John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And you know, there's nothing more healthy for you to really understand that Jesus loves you. I don't care how many stupid, ignorant, wicked things you've done. Jesus loves you, and he wants to be your Savior and Lord. And you need to know that. Receive his love. Receive his salvation. Amen? Whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lying there. And the cloth that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple who came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. Okay, so John gets it. Jesus has been resurrected. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now you need to understand that Jesus had told them, at least a couple times before, read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that he was going to have to die. But they couldn't receive it. They couldn't perceive it. Okay? And so that's why the scripture, even though he told them, it's like they couldn't believe it or receive it at that time. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood outside of the sepulcher, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Isn't that a powerful? Have you ever seen the angels? Many people have. But whether you see them or not, they're there watching over and protecting you. Amen? Verse 13. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. You know, it's so exciting that when Jesus shows up, needless to say, it kind of will rattle your cage, but what does Jesus speak to us? Peace be unto you. We'll talk about more about that. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Yes, that's why he's called Doubting Thomas, right? Okay. But good news, verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were inside and Thomas with them. Yeah, you think Thomas said, I'm not going to miss this anymore. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst and said, here it is again, peace be unto you. That's powerful, let me tell you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach here thy finger and behold my hands, and reach here thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, who's he talking to? Jesus. What does he say to Jesus? My Lord and my God. Jesus Christ is God. You won't get into heaven without that revelation and understanding. Jesus Christ is God. And let me tell you, all the cults and isms, they always mess with who Jesus is. Therefore, you know whether that's the right church, the right place, what they say and teach about Jesus. Okay? Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Final verse, verse 31. But these are written. Okay, why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that means Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, that believing you might have life, how? Through his name. Woo! Isn't this exciting? You and I who are born again, who Jesus lives in our life or our heart, we serve a risen Savior. Is that not exciting? It truly is. Let's remind us of some things as we celebrate the resurrection. We need to understand, first of all, Jesus Christ has always existed. We receive that revelation in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. Now, you're getting ready to find out that the Word is Jesus Christ. But it just affirms Jesus is God. Okay. The same was in the beginning with God, talking about God the Father. All things were made by him, this Word. All things were made by this Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jump down to verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now again, talking about the Word, and again, you already know if you're saved, talking about Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Who made this world? Jesus Christ. Evolution is from the pit of hell. Yeah. You know what? How evolution came about? A bunch of monkeys whispered to some human. You get it? Okay. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and again, it's talking about the Jewish people, and his own received him not. In other words, the Jewish people as a whole, as a nation, rejected Jesus, right? Okay. Verse 12, but as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the children or sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. There it is. The Word is Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's our Jesus. He is God. He created you and I. You think you can get to heaven without Jesus? Are you nuts? Without Jesus Christ, you don't know God. Remember what Jesus told us, John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means eternal life. No man cometh to the Father, Father God, but by me. So you don't know Father God, and he's not your Father until Jesus becomes your Savior and Lord. You know, that was one of the things that made the Pharisees so mad, because they refused to acknowledge Jesus as Messiah. But Jesus let him know he was God. Notice here in John 8:52. Jesus is letting them know who he is, but they weren't receiving it. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know thou hast a demon. Okay, you don't tell Jesus he has a demon. Talk about some people that are frying right now. Those Pharisees, okay? Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Okay, religious leaders talking to Jesus. So Jesus responds. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Now notice what Jesus says to them. Yet you have not known him. These Pharisees and Sadducees, who were the teachers of the law and teachers of God, Jesus says, you don't know God. Oh, which means you're religious, you talk about God, you pray about God, you don't know God, and you're going to go to hell. And that's confirmed in John 8:21-24. You have to read that later. Yet you have not known him. Notice what Jesus says, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. It's okay to call someone a liar if they're a liar. You know, like the entire Biden administration over the last 4 years, thank God for his deliverance for us. Amen. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Oh, that got their attention. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham. And here Jesus gives them the revelation. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, how did God reveal himself? Remember back in Exodus, I think it's chapter 3:14. Moses says, how am I going to tell the people who you are? I am has sent you. Jesus Christ is I am. He is God. Amen. Okay. Did they receive it? Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So Jesus Christ is God. He's the only Savior. He is our Messiah. He's Savior and Lord. Now let me give you another interesting truth as we're celebrating the resurrection. Do you know the reason you are still alive? I can tell you. Well, number one, God wants you to be alive. But no, you know who keeps you alive? Jesus Christ. Oh, that's not in the Bible. Well, let's just look and see. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1:1-3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Of course, that's Jesus. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. That's Jesus. By whom also he made the worlds. Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit made the worlds. Okay, triune God. Okay. Now here's Jesus. Who? Jesus Christ. Being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. That means very God of very God, okay? And here it is. Here's this revelation that shouldn't excite you. And upholding all things, that's you and me, that's the universe, that's the galaxy, that's everything that exists. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Whoa. So be comforted. You don't have to worry about the devil. Deal with him. Cast him out. Resist him. Whatever you got to do. Your life is in Jesus' hands. He upholds you by the word of his power. But let's finish the verse. Talking about Jesus. When he had by himself purged our sins. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So, Jesus is our Savior and Lord, and Jesus keeps you and me alive. Well, let's look at some of the scriptures that tell us what Jesus' divine purpose was, okay? Many different scriptures. We'll look at a few. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 29. You know, we were reading in John, talking about Jesus Christ being God. But notice, John 1, 29. The next day, John, that's John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, listen carefully, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and he has paid the sin debt for every boy and girl, man and woman on planet Earth. Is that not exciting? Have you received his forgiveness? Have you received Jesus into your heart? You need to. How about Luke chapter 19, verse 10? We're talking about the purpose of Jesus. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's one of them. No, I'm sorry, wrong one. Luke 19, 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay. From a spiritual position, before you became a Christian, got saved, or born again, before that you were spiritually lost. You didn't know God. You didn't have Jesus. You didn't have a relationship. But Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. That means people who haven't got saved yet and are still dead in their trespasses and sins. Okay. Another purpose Jesus accomplished. Acts 10:38. How God, talking about God the Father, anointing Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He does that with you too as a believer. Amen. Whom went about doing good. Yes. And here it is. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What does that mean? Okay. Remember Jesus' ministry? Everywhere he went, he healed the sick and cast out demons. Well, why did he do it? Because it says right here, he came to heal all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So sickness, sin, is of the devil, and Jesus wants to set us free. Oh, isn't that good? We're talking about our purpose. It reveals it right here, what Jesus would do. How about 1 John 3:8? He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Here it is. For this purpose, the Son of God, that's Jesus Christ, was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Sin, death, disease, you name it. Jesus came to do that, and he accomplished that on the cross. But again, we have to receive it by faith. Another understanding of what Jesus did for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, talking about God the Father, hath made him, talking about Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, Jesus is perfect without sin, to be sin for us. So Jesus, who was and is perfect and always will be, because he is the perfect Lamb of God, he was able then to go to the cross and die and shed his blood and raise again and become sin for us. He took all our sins upon him at the cross. That's no matter how bad you've been, how many times you've done the wrong thing, you can be forgiven because Jesus already paid for everyone's sins. But again, you're not forgiven until you repent and receive him as your Savior and Lord. And even after we are Christians, we still sin and mess up. Let's be generous from time to time. And we have to confess our sins and repent also. But the good news is, why are we forgiven? Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin. Being good does not wash away your sins. Only repentance and faith in Jesus and his blood and what he did on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection will grant you forgiveness. Let me finish the verse. For he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, our sins are forgiven when you repent and receive Jesus, and he literally imputes or puts to your account and life righteousness. Don't you love Jesus? Amen. Is resurrection important? You better believe it is. Notice here when Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, notice what Martha said in verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall, talking about Lazarus, shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus gives us this revelation. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is a person. That's Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That means die the second death, go to hell. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Now, if you're saying, oh, I don't know about this resurrection and I'm not sure about it, well, I guarantee you, absolutely 100%, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, you can't guarantee that. Oh, I can. Because salvation, when you get saved, really saved, born again of the Spirit of God, you confess that Jesus raised from the dead. Let me prove that to you. Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, which is the word of faith we preach. Here it is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that means Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thine heart, that means your spirit, everything within you, that God the Father, hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead, that's resurrection, thou shalt be saved. Only faith in Jesus and the resurrection will get you to heaven. Now here's the order. For with the heart, or spirit, man believeth unto righteousness. That means right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. Now, why do you believe he resurrected? Because the Holy Spirit, who convicted me of sin, righteousness, and judgment, convicted me that Jesus died for me and rose again, and that it was only his blood that could wash away my sins. And under the direction and conviction of the Holy Spirit, I repented and confessed and knew without a doubt Jesus died for me and rose again. And it'll work for you too. Does it work for everyone? Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Is that not exciting? Do you understand how important and great the resurrection is? We celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday because we're saying not only did Jesus die for our sins, he rose again, and because he lives, we'll live also. All those who trust in Jesus will be in heaven. In fact, those who are born again, we're looking forward to that rapture. Jesus is getting ready to rapture and take us out here. And then comes that terrible 7-year tribulation, and you don't want to be here. Let's get right now. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you. I repent of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior and Lord of my life. Jesus, save me now, and I thank you for it. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.